Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. On Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Save that number and your phone is Locked On Bulls. Hit us up with your voicemails, your text messages, all of your questions. This is part two of our conversation about Pooh, the Derrick Rose story. Came out on Stadium late last week. The film is running all on different times this week. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it this weekend or on the premiere date late last week on Thursday night, you're still going to have a couple opportunities to watch it. Not sure when it's going to come out on digital platforms to be able to instantly stream it, but there are a few dates where it's going to play later this week. So if you had a chance to watch it this weekend, I'd love your thoughts on it. 331-979-1369. How did you feel before you came into the documentary and after you watched the documentary? Where are you sitting at as far as the film goes? Matt and I talked in length about the good, the bad, and the missing from this film. It was very raw, and I would tell every Bulls fan out there that I think it's worth your time watching. So that's out there. That's part one. Part two is surrounding the one major question that I think a lot of Bulls fans have had for a few months now, and even maybe extending back a year, is will the Bulls have interest in Derrick Rose this summer? Will Derrick Rose have interest in the Bulls? Will the Bulls sign him this summer? That is the biggest question of them all. So Matt and I spent some time talking about whether it's a good idea for the Bulls to sign him and bring him back. Matt's personal opinion, my personal opinion, and also I try and gauge the reality of the situation. How likely is it for the Bulls to pursue him this summer? So we have all of those conversations and so much more. So hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck, or drop us a text or voicemail at 331-979-1369. Here's part two of that conversation.
With all that said about the documentary, Jordan, do you want to now talk about, because I know this has been a very contentious point of debate on Bulls Twitter, and a lot of people know where I stand, but they don't essentially know the specific details why. Do you want to, before we get out of here, talk about your opinion and my opinion on what we feel about Derrick Rose and a potential homecoming? Because this doc has gotten everybody talking about it.
Yeah, I'm in for it. And I know we've talked a lot about it throughout this season. And both you and I have been very vocal on why we don't feel like it's the best fit. And I'll speak for myself here, is after watching this too, I got a better understanding of really how much he cares for this city and really how much he cared for playing for the Chicago Bulls. And you just see the Knicks and the Bulls, that trade and seeing that and Derek breaking down crying and saying, I can't believe I'm getting moved. Even going back to the press conference before that, Matt, I mean, we were doing a podcast at the time and talking about opinions, and everyone's like, man, like, somebody had brought up a trade, and I don't know who was said in the background of that either. I have to go back and watch the film, but somebody says, yeah, that's not happening. And it sounded like Gar, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But then a couple months later, he was dealt. To me, I don't know if it's a good idea for Derek to come back into this rebuild. I have said it multiple times that I want to see him continue on and fight for a championship, continue to play well somewhere else, seeing it from afar. Will all the anger and the splits and the polarizing topic of Derrick Rose continue to happen if the Bulls do sign him? And will people be more understanding if an injury pops up? If he's not as good as he once was? What are the standards that our fans are holding him to if he does get signed for this team? To me, I don't see the impact. I don't see what benefits him from a basketball standpoint. Like, does this benefit the Bulls from a basketball standpoint? And maybe you can talk about money. You can talk about contract length. You can talk about him being a mentor to young players. Maybe that those are all good things, and maybe he can have an impact on this Bulls team. But for me, from my perspective, I don't think it's a good idea to sign Derek. And if he does come back, it's not the end of the world for me. If he does get signed and comes back, I don't think it's the end of the world for me. I think he can do good things for this team. But I just, from a basketball standpoint, I don't think it's a good idea for the Bulls and where they're going, where they're trying to go. And I also don't think the reunion too soon? That's what I would want to know. Is it going to be too soon to come back and make this? And will people, if something goes wrong, will people turn on him again? And that's exactly what I don't want to see again from this. So maybe staying in Minnesota or not coming back to the Bulls this quickly would be something that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think Derrick Rose returning to the Bulls is a bad idea for plenty of reasons. And before I get into some of the, I guess, more thematic what he means to the fan base and the media issue in this city, and even, as we touched on a moment ago, some of the other elements to Derek's past and that civil trial. Before we even get to that, because right now, what I have heard from Bulls fans advocating for his return is that they believe Derrick Rose, the basketball player, is exactly what this team needs right now. So let's start there, because I disagree even with that. Bulls fans saying, Derek, he had this amazing return comeback season. You know, he's this amazing veteran point guard who can score. Look at what he did shooting the ball this season. And it's a selective memory, or it's lazy fandom from those people who think that Derek, the player, is a perfect fit for this Bulls team as they move forward. Just because the Bulls and their fans know right now that point guard is a position that they need to address, and that Derek might be one of the players who's out there. He's a veteran point guard. He can come in, be a leader. He can help this Bulls offense. Okay. When Derek had that amazing month of November, and including in that comeback story, the 50-point game, fans went nuts for it, and I can understand why, completely understand why. But why is it, again, that Chris Dunn did not look great playing alongside Zach LaVine? Because he is a weak shooting guard who cannot be effective off the ball. Derrick Rose fans have a very selective memory about the season that just happened. Because, yes, in that amazing month of November, Derrick Rose shot a staggering 56.3% from behind the three-point line. In December, that dipped a bit, but he still shot 40.6% from behind the three-point line. However, January, 19%. February, 7.1% from behind the three-point line. Derrick Rose, career 30.4 three-point percent shooter, had a lightning hot streak from behind the three-point line this season, and then that came crashing back to reality. So I hear tons of Rose fans on Twitter saying, not only is he the guy who we see, we see glimpses of that Rose slasher who could just get to the basket with ease and score at the rim, but now he can shoot threes. Okay, no, I don't trust that. Neither should you. Derek's still not a very good three-point shooter, and the Bulls need a point guard who can shoot threes in this system, pairing with Zach LaVine. That's what they need. That's not who Derrick Rose is. Derrick Rose has always been a score-first, pass-second point guard, and the Bulls, with the pieces that they have built, could really benefit from a player at that position who can excel not just attacking the rim and shooting threes, but passing and finding opportunities for players like LaVine and Markkanen to score. Derrick has never been a great distributor. He's had some incredible dimes on his highlight reel over the course of his career, but he is not a great distributing point guard. He is a score-first, attack-first point guard. Between that and the, you know, the hollow false hot streak from behind the 3-point line that now so many Rose stands are trying to say is who Derrick Rose is now. No. That's not who he is. Coupled with that, have we all immediately already so quickly forgotten how Derrick's amazing comeback season ended? With season-ending surgery. Removing bone spur, bone chips from his elbow. Maybe that was part of the reason why his shooting fell off so dramatically in the back end of his season. But this was another season in which Derrick Rose, another year older, was shut down for the season with a injury that required surgery. How many is that now? We've got bad ankles. We've got bad knees. We have wrist problems in his past. Now we have an elbow injury, and on and on and on it goes. And, you know, it broke my heart when Derrick was enduring all of these injuries. And as I said, I was defending him largely to the part of the fan base that was starting to turn on him when he wasn't enduring these injuries. But as a fan who wants this team to succeed moving forward, do I really want to sign a wrong side of 30 Derrick Rose who, regardless of the 50-point game and the great story that Rose fans are so obsessed with right now, the comeback story that needs to, the next chapter needs to be him coming home and putting on a Bulls jersey again. As you said a moment ago, Jordan, what happens when the injury-prone player Derrick Rose resurfaces and fans immediately lose the warm and fuzzies about, wow, what a great comeback season he just had? Because that leads to the media and the fan base and Derrick Rose and the front office all hating each other again. You want to go through that again? I don't. You got to leave the past in the past. I cannot believe that these Rose fans and these Bulls fans who think that this is a good idea are just blinding themselves to so many layers of truth.
I mean, this is what a fan is, though. Let's be honest about that for a second. A fan is short for fanatic, and it's people who sometimes are unrealistic and emotionally and mentally invested in somebody, no matter what happens. And, you know, I find myself doing this too with some players, and it doesn't even just go for the Chicago Bulls. It goes for whatever team I'm a fan of. Being a White Sox fan, diehard White Sox fan since I grew up, there was players at times where I really wanted them to come here, and I didn't care to look at how it would impact the team because I was in love with those players. So I get it. I get why fans want that. My thing going back to what you were saying was, let's take a deep breath for a second. If Derrick comes in and is signed by the Bulls, he's not going to be a starter. That's just clear cut. If they're going to sign Derrick Rose, they're going to go out and get another point guard. You can't rely on Derrick to be your starter. It's just not realistic because of the amount of injuries. And like you said, some of the production numbers aren't there. If he comes in as a backup or a rotation guard, then I can see it a little bit more. But that's where I go back to is, how is this going to affect this team? And will people make narratives about Rose all season that's just going to overshadow everything that this rebuild is supposed to be about? That's where I'm very curious about. And
that the answer to that question is unequivocally yes, because that's how maniacal Bulls fans are. Whether they believe in Rose or don't, love Rose or don't, turned on him and are still turned on him, or have defended him since day one, or at some point over the course of his career trajectory, changed their opinion about Rose. And I put myself in that last category. Regardless, the question you just asked, Jordan, is the answer is yes. Derrick Rose returning, regardless of whether he's starting or coming off the bench, which of course people will all disagree with or disagree about and have different opinions about. Yes, it will be a gigantic distraction on what this team is trying to achieve. Tenfold what Derrick Rose the player might add to this team. The distraction of Derrick Rose the story. Derrick Rose in the media. Derrick Rose in the front office trying to repair bridges that have been burnt. Derrick Rose in the fan base trying to repair bridges that have been burnt will 100% be a distraction that prevents this team from moving forward.
Yeah, and I have a hard time saying that it would be a distraction right off the bat, and I don't want to speak for any Bulls fans either. I want to speak for myself. What the Bulls would try to do here and bringing him back, I try to think it from the Bulls' perspective. Are they going to do this because of all the shit that they got this last season? Try to distract fans from the actual path that this is going down and where this rebuild is going and the direction that it's headed. Because like I said last week, I don't really know what the direction is. I think it's very hazy. And I said that even back at the trade deadline. I'm worried that if he does come, I'm not worried about his play or what he would do to mentor. I think he would be great at that. I really do. And I think he would be an energy burst for a lot of fans that have so desperately wanted him to come back. But the thing that I am very much worried about is, will the media make this all about him all season long? Will fans and media turn on him if injuries happen, if he doesn't play as well as we thought? What are our expectation levels for Derek if he does come back as a Bull? Because they can't be what they were before. Let's be very honest about that. They can't be what they were before. If the expectation level is dropped down a ton and say, Derek's just here to be a mentor and whatever else he can give us on the floor as a rotation player is gravy, then I think we get a little bit better of understanding of that too. And look, I'm not going to take away from the trial thing too, either in some of the things that he said. That still bothers me. And I'll be at a weird place, but watching and seeing how much Rose has done for people and understanding what that would do for a lot of Bulls fans here, and not just me, like people of all different demographics, what that would do for Bulls fans, I think would be very good, but I'm very fearful of what would happen if things don't go right. Like, I'm trying to look at the positive if they do sign him, but I'm very, very fearful of what the story will do and what happens to the rebuild if things don't go right. And I, like you said, I just don't want to see the fan base separated, especially because we've already been down that road 10 years ago. I'm very curious to see what that would look like. But to me, from a basketball standpoint, just from a basketball standpoint, if the Bulls sign him, don't sign him to a big deal. If it's at a veteran minimum or something around $3 to $5 million, $6 million, okay. Like, I can get that. But if it's anything more, and if you're relying on him to be a very, very important part to your bench, or even considering him to be a starter, I think that's just a terrible idea. And for all the reasons that you had mentioned, he was 5 for 40 from three between January and March. 5 for 40 is 12.5%. So I think he can be a distributor and a scorer.
But he's such a great three-point shooter now, Jordan. I swear. Some of the selective memory of Rose stands, it's really insane.
Being a distributor, I think he can still do that. I think he can be a scoring threat off the bench. It's about if he can stay healthy. That's where I go back. It's about if he can stay healthy and what can he do as an impact player if he stays healthy off the bench, coming off the bench for 18 to 22 minutes a night. What can he do there? And how can he complement other guards that the Bulls maybe are looking at? If they bring Ja Morant in, how can he be a mentor to him? How can he help guys like Chris Dunn and maybe Archie Diacono comes back or Shaq Harrison? How is he going to help some of these other guys and from the experiences that he's had? Because look, maybe he would be a good mentor for Ja Morant and for Chris Dunn.
Maybe. We don't know that. If what we know about Derrick Rose informs a hypothetical or informs a hypothesis about Derrick Rose, because that's another argument I've heard from pro-Rose reunion fans on Twitter is, oh, he'd be such a great veteran mentor and leader, and that's another thing that John Paxson said that this team needs right now. You know, Rolo was a great leader this year. We don't know if he's going to come back, but this is a young team and they need veteran leadership. John Paxson said in his season-ending press conference they're going to go out and target tough veteran players who can be leaders on this young team, and Rose stands say that's what Rose can be. He's a veteran. He's been around the block. He's seen a lot in this league. He's overcome it all. He could be a great vet. I'm sorry. At what point has Rose ever embraced the role of leader in a locker room? Vocally? And some of you might think I'm shortchanging Derrick Rose right now, but I am basing that take on the reality of what we know about Derrick Rose being a person who doesn't like to talk, who has kind of never really put it on himself to be the vocal leader, the emotional leader of any team. He was not the leader
publicly
on those great Bulls teams of yesteryear. He was not.
Publicly.
I don't know that Derrick Rose could be a great mentor to younger players on this team. I don't know that to be true. And if you were told, if you told me to give me my educated guess, I would say that it's the opposite. That no, we have no evidence of Derrick Rose being a great veteran leader.
I think that's publicly. I don't know about behind closed doors, because you remember Joakim Noah, and I know I get Joakim Noah is one of his good friends. I would like to talk to some players or hear some players talk about it. Guys that he's been teammates with for the last year or year and a half, 2 years. Even his time you can take out his time in Cleveland, but even his time in New York, or just specifically talking to players on Minnesota this year. I think I would like to understand what he had done there, or talk to beat reporters and see really what it was like behind closed doors. Because publicly, you're right. He's not going to come out and be the face of the Bulls. Like that just wouldn't make any sense at this point in his career. But what he does behind closed doors on a day-to-day basis for players at this stage in his career with the maturity level that he's at now, compared to what he was when he was with the Bulls a handful of years ago, I think it's a lot different, and that's what I'm trying to get myself to the point where understanding what he says publicly is a lot different than sometimes what people are doing behind the scenes, right? And those are the things that we don't understand as fans and people who aren't in there every single day. And now I sound like John Paxson, but it's serious. Like, what does he do behind closed doors that no other people see? Because this documentary showed a lot of things that nobody else knew until now. So that's where I got to go back to. And I'm not going to make a judgment of whether or not he can be a veteran, a mentor to any players, because I don't know that. I don't specifically know that for sure.
Can he do that, though, if he comes home and immediately problems creep up again? Old familiar problems. Derrick Rose said earlier this year that part of what has been able to, you know, allow him this opportunity for a comeback and a fresh start is that he's not in Chicago, and that he doesn't have all of these distractions of what the media is saying and what the fan base is saying. And, oh, by the way, the mental toll that his relationship with the Bulls front office put on him. Because that is something that we heard Derrick Rose say just months ago. The part of the reason that he has become so happy with this comeback tour in Minnesota and the way that he has been able to stay a mentally happy and healthy individual, in addition to being a guy who can contribute on a basketball team again, is he is not in Chicago and not dealing with the tumultuous relationship of the front office and also, yes, the media. So at what point, after Derrick's happy homecoming, where everybody in Chicago is all teary-eyed and weepy and welcome home, we missed you, we love you, we can't wait to have you back in the United Center, at what point after that feel-good day do all of those problems creep up again? And then, regardless of can Derrick Rose be a leader, can Derrick Rose, the basketball player, be giving meaningful contributions to this team on a nightly basis, whether or not you believe in that, and again, as I laid out before, I still think that even the answer to those questions is no, then it doesn't matter, because the biggest problem and the biggest story is Derrick Rose, the, you know, not just the player, not just the person, but Derrick Rose, to borrow a word from our pal Fred, the Leviathan of the, like, the giganticness of what Derrick Rose is and means, all of a sudden becomes the front page story on a daily basis. And how does that help Zach LaVine? How does that help Lauri Markkanen? How does that help Wendell Carter Jr.? How does that help this team get back to being a competitive team? How does that help the mental health of this team? How does that help the locker room togetherness of this team? If Derrick Rose falling short of expectations, or Derrick Rose, should he start? Should he come off the bench? Derrick Rose, his relationship with the front office. Derrick Rose, the relationship with the fan base. Derrick Rose, the relationship with the media. What good does that do for these players that we have started this rebuild with if that is the front page story every single goddamn day, and every Bulls fan out there is kidding themselves if they don't believe that that is exactly what will happen?
I mean, that's not Derrick's fault, though. That's the thing. It's like,
didn't say it was.
No, I know, and I get where you're coming from, and I understand that too. I totally do, and that's part of the reason why I was very skeptical. That's why I got to understand, what are the expectations? I don't really have a clear understanding of how every other Bulls fan feels if he does come in here. What are their expectations for what he can do for this team? Everybody's got their opinion, and my expectations would be set as Derek's not going to be a main piece to winning this team, but he can help. I think he can help, but he's not going to be a main piece, and if your expectations are set as he's going to be a rotation guard who can be a very vital piece coming off that bench, working 18 to 25 minutes a night, he's going to score off the bench, he's going to do exactly what he did in Minnesota, I don't know if that's true. Being in Minnesota had a lot different expectations than it does being here in Chicago, and especially with how negative this city has been about this team for the last 3, 4, 5 years, that's something to think about. Is he performing well in Minnesota because the expectation level isn't as high and it's different there? And the pressure is a little bit more relieved. I think that plays a factor into it too. Think about Cleveland when he went there. They were still trying to win. The pressure for him to win there was huge. Even in New York, when he had such a good season and they were playing really well, the expectations in New York are very much way higher than they are in Minnesota. So that's what I wonder is like, my question to Bulls fans would be, what's your expectation level of him coming into this team? If it's somewhat low and saying, you know, him coming in being a mentor for young guys and doing whatever else he can on the floor, that's only gravy, then that makes a lot of sense. I understand your expectation, but if your expectation level is he's going to start, he's going to be an impact player, he's going to be outside of Porter, Markin, and Carter, Levine, he's going to be the fifth or sixth or seventh most important piece on this Bulls team to be really good next year, I think you're setting yourself up for a little bit of disappointment. And a lot of disappointment, because I don't think his expectation level should be that high. But you're right about the stories and the headlines. It's going to be nonstop daily. And that is something he can't control. So, and that's what I wonder.
You're fair to point out that a lot of the issue of what can go wrong if Derek comes back is out of his control. Some of the way that things went sour, I think, was a combination of it could have been handled better by Derek and by the people in the Bulls front office. And if we were to go through this again, but to me, you're kind of flirting, Jordan, with rationalizing with maybe it's not a terrible idea, depending on the contract and the level of expectations, and also saying yourself that you doubt whether or not fans can, in fact, hold themselves to modest expectations, which I think, you know, to me, it's simple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do you any good to rationalize Derek coming home based on a veteran minimum deal or a veteran, you know, mid-scale deal contract wise. And he's not going to be 22-year-old MVP Derek Rose. We know that those won't be our expectations. And I've heard a lot of Rose Dan say that on Twitter over the last week or so. We're going to, you know, it's manage our expectations. It's just about bringing Derek home. What is the likelihood that this insanely zealous, fanatical group that follows this team holds themselves to those expectations? And regardless of whether or not some actually manage to limit their expectations and even start by saying we're probably not going to get a full season from Rose, he's probably going to sit with a couple of different injuries, he's going to be a bench player, not a starter, limit those expectations, if some portion of the fan base manages that, which even in itself would be a surprise, it doesn't matter, because 18 million different people from 18 million different directions will have a different take on what those expectations are, which leads to media explosion, which leads to fan base infighting, which leads to dysfunction, chaos, distrust, and toxicity for everyone involved. Fans, media, Derek, and the Chicago Bulls who are trying to rebuild. There is no point in rationalizing with, well, temper your expectations, because it won't happen across the board and it will only lead to infighting.
The thing is he can't control that
narrative.
Plain
and simple. There is only one potential result, and it is that.
That's a narrative he can't control, though. that's where I'm trying to get to.
Is I'm not like, saying that it's a narrative that Derek should be able to control. I'm saying that it is the narrative that will undoubtedly play out, which makes his return a terrible
idea.
Sure,
we don't know that for a fact, though. Like, all these other things that
yes,
we're talking
about. Yes, we do. I mean, we know this fan base. We know the media in Chicago.
You're talking about a fan base that's millions big, though. Like, let's be clear here.
All
like,
of
Twitter
whom
is a lot
very
different
passionate
than,
opinions about this player and this person.
Twitter is a lot different of a place than the rest of the fans and how they feel. I think we need to put that in perspective, too. Social media and what people say about him there is a hell of a lot different than how the rest of the Bulls fans feel. And I don't want to speak for Bulls fans. And
I think Twitter and social media is a smattering of all of the different opinions that Bulls fans have across the board.
We can beg to differ on that one. But to me, there's a lot of Bulls fans that aren't on social media, that aren't on Twitter. There's only a fraction of Bulls fans who are on Twitter. I don't want to speak for Bulls fans in general and what would happen and what don't. All I can do is give you an educated guess on how things might play out. If he comes in here and he takes on a role that has less expectations and he's more of a mentor and he is what he was in Minnesota, and that's how it's going to be run from the start, as opposed to the way that Jabari Parker got crushed this year because the Bulls propped him up and gave him $20 million. And everybody had these unrealistic expectations for what Jabari could be. And that's not what he was. And some of us knew that coming in, but not everybody did. That's my biggest question. What are the expectations? And if you're holding him to a realistic expectation, then maybe it can work. And, you know, I'm looking at it from the reality of will the Bulls sign him, won't they sign him? Not from do I want him back or do I not want him back? The reality is there's a good possibility that the Bulls sign him this summer. Just from everything. I said that in December when we were getting all these little trickling storylines. Oh, should Derek come back? Oh, look at what Derek's doing up in Minnesota. You know, that's been played up all year. So to me, I won't be surprised at all if they go after him. And there's been a million different people that are tapped into the Bulls every single day that have said the same exact thing. And while Casey Johnson just reported recently that it's less likely now with the surgery that he's had to do and with his elbow, still, I think if it comes at a cheap cost for the Bulls, they can get a win from their fan base. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So I'm just trying to set myself up for that
point. A stupid move to get a stupid win backed by the stupid portion of this fan base. And I don't care if you're a person listening who was offended by that because I just called you stupid. But that is the reality. If the Bulls front office makes this move, as you said, you know, the Jabari signing and all the ways that the expectations were misrepresented and he was propped up, the Bulls will be shooting themselves in the foot if they decide that this is a good idea. And Derek, for all of his misgivings about the relationship and how it soured, not just with media and fans, but the way that this organization treated him on his way out. If everybody says, let's you know, rebuild this bridge, let's make amends and try this again, based on the fact that I think, well, we you know, it would be great hype for a team that really is coming off a really ugly season, and we want to get people excited again. Derek coming home would certainly do that for a lot of people based on what I see among this fan base. They'd be making a decision for stupid reasons to make happy the least informed part of the fan base when it comes to knowing what is best for this organization. So if they do that and it blows up, I will have zero sympathy for anyone involved.
And that goes along the lines, the same thing with the Jabari thing. And maybe it'll just be a one-year deal, too. Like, I'm not trying to rationalize the idea of signing Rose and being good for the Bulls. I'm trying to understand the reality of if he does sign, what happens? And what are the levels of expectation and what will he do for the players that are here and how does that affect the rebuild? And I think those are fair questions to ask because the reality is that the Bulls are going to have interest this summer. I have no doubt about that they're going to have interest. I understand everything that you're saying. There could be an instance where this all unravels, but also I don't think we're looking at the other side of it, which we haven't touched on at all. So what happens if it works? Like, to be fair and look at both sides, what happens? And we've spent a lot of time already on all the things that could go wrong. But I think it's fair to look at, too, what happens if it does go right? What happens if the expectation levels are set at a fair point and things do go right? What's the answer there? Well,
define what you mean by saying go right. What does go right mean?
Signing a deal for 1 year at a cost-controlled level, being a mentor, helping guys like whoever they draft this summer, if it is a point guard, helping Chris Dunn along. Chris Dunn's in a season where he's confused and lost about where he is as part of this team. Maybe Derek can help him. Maybe, maybe not. But if people don't explode, if he doesn't get hammered for injuries, if the expectation level isn't that he's going to be a starter and be some type of whirlwind producer off the bench, what happens if he does help some of those guards along? What happens if he is halfway decently productive off the bench and does help this Bulls team along? I think we got to look at that too, because there is a reality if he does sign here that things could go well. Maybe not a big reality, but there is a reality that could happen if he does play well here. So that's, I'm just trying to look at both sides and be very fair about both of these things, because at this point, I already told you, I don't think it's a good idea, and I think it can go the way that you were talking, but I think we should think about the other side of it too. The glass half full part of it is what happens if things do go right here. And going right would be being a productive player off the bench, helping mentor guys along, and not being the focal story of the rebuild. And that's one thing that he's not going to be able to control if he gets signed, but maybe he can. Maybe just say, look, I'm not the main story here. It's about the young guys. It's about this team. It's about building that.
Even if Derek says that, enough of the media and enough of the fan base will negate his best intentions to not make himself the focal point and the person and the story that gets most of the attention. Because he means that much to this city. There is no way, even if Derek comes out himself day one, welcome home, Derek, we're so glad you're back. I want to make clear from the start that this is not about me. This team is not about me. This season is not about me. I am here to be a role player, a veteran mentor, and I just want to help this team win some basketball games. He can say that, and everybody can pat him on the back for finally saying something right with a bunch of microphones in his face. But the day that at any point a member of the media or a portion of the fan base has issue with something that Derrick Rose says or does, or something that the front office or coaching staff or ownership says or does about Derrick Rose, or his teammates says or does about Derrick Rose, then all of that goodwill goes right out the window and we're back where we started. And what is the likelihood of that happening? Oh, given this fan base and how passionate we are, I'd say 1,000%. So I don't care about these hypotheticals of, well, what if it goes right? What if he's a cheap ad who helps this young team and actually is a productive net positive player off the bat? It doesn't matter. Because at some point, knowing this team, knowing this fan base, and knowing that person, Derrick Rose will become the story. Derrick Rose will become a distraction. Derrick Rose will become this, maybe it's his fault, maybe it's not, divisive entity that splits everything and causes chaos and dysfunction everywhere among this fan base who finally, after so many years of will he play, will he won't play, can he come back from injury, can he come back from this injury, can he come back from that injury, and can Jimmy and Derek play together and get the Bulls back to championship contention? No, it didn't work. All right, well, what can we do with Jimmy as a holdover? Nope, you know what, never mind, we're going to start over, we're going to start fresh. What does bringing Derek Rose back into the fold do to this team that tries to put that behind them? The front office talks constantly about how Derek's max contract and all of his injuries really put a damper on this franchise for so many years and hamstrung what they were able to do. Derek's fault? Maybe you think he owns some of that blame. Maybe you think he's completely innocent of any blame in that regard. You can't help injuries. Doesn't matter how you feel about that. What is true is that this team started over. This team's coming off a really rocky year. There's plenty of people who have legitimate doubts about the guy in the head coach's chair right now, but there is some interesting young talent that they have assembled. Derrick Rose immediately upstages all of that, regardless of your expectations, and there is no denying that that is true.
It's hard for me to agree with all of that. It's hard for me to agree on the fact that just looking at all the possible ways of this going completely wrong. And I get that the way that the Bulls have gone in the last few years makes sense. It's just very hard for me to just all of a sudden point to him and say he's going to be a complete distraction. He's going to be a part of this whole rebuild going up in flames next year if all of a sudden he gets one injury or anything like that. That circles back to what I'm talking about, Matt, is if you're going to blow this whole thing up and make this a huge distraction and get all pissed off because he gets hurt, then you played yourself. You played yourself about the expectation levels that you had when he was signed. That's where I sit at.
But you know that those kinds of people exist, Jordan.
Sure, but you can't control that. You can't control how those people feel. And I also can't control how people who are fans of Derrick Rose feel. I can only control about how I feel and what I think is the best for this team. And my opinion is, it's not the end of the world if they sign him this summer. Would I want him here? Do I think he helps this team? No. But is it the end of the world if he gets signed here? Probably not. I really think it's getting blown out of proportion already. Derek is the most divisive athlete this city has ever had, and he hasn't been in a Bulls uniform in 3 years. He's still that divisive whether he is playing for this Bulls team or not. So, Matt, that's going to happen
right.
Every...
So how much more divisive does he become than he is right now, where it's just people talking about the hypothetical idea
that's
of him
what
coming
if.
Home.
That's a what if, and I don't know. I can't answer that question.
No, that's not a what if. It is a simple...
I don't have a crystal ball for that.
It's a simple... You just said he's this divisive even though he hasn't been in a Bulls jersey in 30...
Every time he's brought up.
So when he comes here, of course he will return to being even more divisive than he is now when we're just talking hypotheticals. That is simple logic. He's divisive when he's gone. You bring him in, he is even more divisive because of how people feel about him. Without a doubt. Yeah,
well, there's people about this fan base that they will knock everything that this team does, no matter what.
True.
So
true. Absolutely true.
But it's the reality
Jordan,
we live in.
Do you know the one way that the Bulls can assuredly avoid any chaos, dysfunction, infighting among the fan base? Infighting among different members of the media who feel differently about Derek, whether or not he's a good idea, and whether or not he should come home. Do you know how they avoid all of that as best they can and in a way that most holistically absolves them of the Derek Rose drama and continues their path forward, trying to move forward, finally, after all the years of heartache that have revolved around Derek and how the city feels about him? Don't sign him. Don't give in to the temptation of what it would mean hype-wise, what it would mean to bring people back into the United Center, to get Derrick Rose jerseys flying off the shelves again. Avoid that temptation, John Paxson, Jerry Reinsdorf, Gar Forman. Avoid that temptation and eliminate 90% of the bad shit that can happen if you do. It's that simple. We don't know if maybe he coming home would work out more so than it would fail. We don't know. As you said, neither of us have a crystal ball. But there's one thing that we do know for certain. And this is everybody in this city and everybody that follows this team has a very passionate opinion about Derek. And want certain things for him and want certain things for this team. And that's a big difference. Rose fans, Bulls fans. And how that overlaps and how those segregate in some ways and how they are a Venn diagram in some ways. But again, the way to eliminate all of the potential chaos and dysfunction that causes is to avoid the temptation for the feel-good story that would last for a day, a week, maybe a month, before in all likelihood we are stuck back in the same position of all fighting about what Derrick Rose is and what this organization needs to be.
I don't deny the fact that the one way to avoid all of this is just to merely not sign him. Totally agree with that, 100%. And I've stuck to that opinion. You know, and it's not just about Derek either. Joe Kim Noah, Taj Gibson, whoever it is from that past era, I just reliving those memories and bringing those guys back, does that better your basketball team as far as moving on? If you're going to have the same stance about Derek, then I think that same stance should go for any of those other players that we're talking about, of the feel-good feelings that they had before and what impact that they're going to have on this team right now and how much of that's going to cost. Like, I don't think it's fair to just point at Derek, and I get he's from Chicago and he had a lot more divisiveness than maybe guys like Joe Kim Noah or Taj Gibson or whoever else you want to talk about. I get that. But Matt, I'm with you. I'm with you that avoiding signing him this summer, there's other players out there you can spend your money on and use that open roster spot to further progress this rebuild. And I get it. Maybe it's too soon. Like, that's what some people were asking, is it too soon of a reunion? Maybe Derek goes and plays 2, 3, 4 more years and we see where this rebuild's at. And at the end of his career, he comes back. Is this comeback too soon? Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm just living in reality of what the Bulls will do this summer and trying to think it from that perspective and hold out my personal opinions about it. You already know it. Everybody on here knows it. Will the Bulls consider signing him this summer? I think that is a known fact. They'll consider it and they'll be interested this summer. It's just how that's going to impact the rest of this season or the rest of next season. And I don't know. At this point, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you, but we can make pretty decent educated guesses of how things will go if certain events happen, such as an injury. Coming into a negative situation like this team is, in the dysfunction that it's at right now, and how apathetic people are to this team, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. So that's where I'm at, man. I get it. I would try to go sign some other players that can help develop this rebuild as opposed to playing off a story and hoping Derek can be that guy.
And that's the thing to me. Like, why do this to yourself? Why put yourself, if you're this organization, at such a huge risk of this might blow up in our face when you can just go out there and sign somebody else? Does it need to be Derrick Rose, the basketball player? Is he the only option? Is he the 1A option that is out there for a team that could use some veteran help off the bench and could use a point guard? No! For the love of God, expand your horizons! For a fan base that also seems to get so upset at this team and the way they operate for thinking not ever outside the box, but inside the box constantly. Oh, a Chicago guy, Dwayne Wade, we should sign him. Oh, another Simeon kid, Jabari, we should sign him. Coaching search? Nah, let's just pick our old pal Freddie Hoiberg over there from Iowa State. Coaching search? Nah, let's just replace him with Jim Boylan. Coaching search? Nah, let's just give Jim Boylan an extension. For all the ways that this team gets criticized, and rightfully so, from the fan base for doing things that are, as we say, quote-unquote, classic Bulls, how many people are advocating for a move bringing Derrick Rose back that would be classic Bulls? When, for the love of God, not only would we love to see them actually conduct a legitimate, thorough coaching search, but maybe conduct a legitimate, thorough search for a veteran point guard whose name is not Derrick Rose. How hard is that?
I don't think it's hard at all. I think you look at Derrick's not going to be their number one target, man. Like, and anybody who thinks that is, that's just unrealistic. That's not... I don't think the Bulls are that stupid. Like, I will criticize them and burn them for a lot of the things that they say and do and the moves that they've made over the last couple of years. They're not that dumb, man. Derrick Rose is not their number one target. They're probably not the number five target. If he's brought in, he's brought in to fill up a last roster spot. They've got a little bit of money left. I really don't think he's this number one free agent that we're going to and number one target this summer. As far as an impact to this team. So if they do sign him, there's another move there. Whether it's trading Chris Dunn for another point guard, whether it's drafting Ja Morant or Darius Garland or Kobe White in the draft, or maybe they sign two point guards. Like, we can do that. We can sign two point guards. We can do that. We have enough roster spot, and $20 million is plenty enough to sign two point guards. That's where I'm at. I think we're blowing it way out of proportion, too. And I would say this again, the media, they built this story up to where we're at right now, even going back to October. I can pull you 50 different clips, people on TV, on radio, on podcasts, on articles, lightly floating these ideas of Derek coming back. So I'm not going to get pissed off at fans for now being all of a sudden excited and hopeful that maybe the Bulls will go after him, because this story was squashed. It was squashed in October. There's a lot of people out there that started bringing this story up that have a lot of power when they talk about sports. And that's what happened, Matt. And that's why I don't feel bad if the Bulls sign him. I'm not angry at Bulls fans or Rose fans for wanting him to come back. They're not the ones who built this narrative up to where we are right now.
Yeah, but they're the sheeple that are dumb enough to believe that it's a good idea. And again, sorry, not sorry if I offended you with that statement and you have been sitting here listening and saying, you're wrong, Matt, you're wrong, you're wrong. Bring Derek home. Well, if you hold that opinion, I think you are one of the sheeple who, if you got duped into some person's narrative who thought, let's dedicate some of our airtime today to talk about the idea of Derek coming back to Chicago. And look, the only reason you and I
here in Chicago,
the only reason you and I are talking about this, Jordan, is because everybody, especially with this documentary, which was the motivating point for this conversation, is because everybody's talking about it. But if you, Bulls fan, and if you call yourself a Bulls fan first and a Derek fan second, and I know that there are plenty of people in this city and Bulls fans in general who would say, and maybe they won't admit it to themselves, but this is true to their core, they are a Derek fan first and a Bulls fan second, regardless of which way you are flip-flopped there, if you are in any way a Bulls fan and you are dumb enough to believe that this is a good idea, I think you're dumb and I have no sympathy for you. Come at me, bro. Don't care. Educate yourself. Open your eyes to the big picture. And if you, Jordan, if you're trying to absolve their guilt of, well, the only reason this is gaining momentum is because it's the media's fault, maybe there is something to that. Because this has been continuously brought up and brought up and brought up.
Yeah, it's not maybe. It is.
Okay.
It's not maybe.
Fine. But get like if you're dumb enough to give First Take ratings, then you're part of the problem. First Take is out there and they throw a bunch of shit, you know, and that's just one example. But it's one example of shock media and one example of, well, let's just do this or have this conversation because it's going to generate a bunch of buzz. If you're dumb enough to buy into that, then that's on you. If you're dumb enough to buy in to the hype that perhaps the media started about Derrick Rose, which I would say isn't necessarily the complete truth, because there have been people, Bulls fans slash Rose fans, advocating for his return since the day he left, that have never stopped advocating for Derrick Rose and the fact that someday he should come back to Chicago. That has existed without the media's help since Derrick Rose left. And Jordan, you know that's true.
Sure, but it hasn't been as clear-cut as is this year. And I'm not talking about First Take. I don't even think that they've ever brought that conversation up before.
No, I was just using that as an example of shock media for shock value's sake.
We would be very naive and wrong to say that nobody in the, that every station in this city has covered it, whether you're a debate style show, whether you're a radio show, whether you're a TV show, whether you're a podcast, whether you're writing, it doesn't matter. It has been talked about. We talk about it a handful of times throughout this season. Every time somebody's asked us on our text and voicemail line. I get it. I get what you're saying. I just don't think, and maybe it's just 1 year. Maybe it's 1 year, 1 year contract. But you, like you said, look at what a 1 year deal did and how angry people were about Jabari. But that's a different situation, I think. Like the money, the position that they were in, where they were going to play him was a lot different than bringing back Rose. Look, I don't know. I'm not going to tell anybody if they think Rose is a good signing for the Bulls or good addition to this team. I won't be as upset, I think, as some other people will be. And look, it goes back to everything that we've said about how we feel about him as a player and as a person. Still very, very offsetting about some of the things in the trial, some of the things that he said before. And it puts me in a weird and difficult position for that. I don't know. I can't tell Bulls fans how to feel. I can't tell you whether you think it's a good idea or it's not. We all have different opinions on the way that this team is going. And for me, I think that idea of Derek just blowing this entire rebuild up in year three, if that happens and it's not because of what Derek has said or done specifically, and it's done because of the media and the Bulls fans, then we all need to really take a look at ourselves and say, what the hell are we doing? Are we driving guys out of here? Every time something happens, it seems like somebody wants to just criticize and criticize and criticize and drill on a guy. Think about Chris Dunn, the way he's been treated all season. Think about that. Think about all the guys that we've drove out of town because our fan base is so passionate. We sometimes, we have blinders on, I think, when we think about certain players and who we drive out of this city and who we don't like and who we don't want to be a part of this team. And I understand it from the basketball standpoint, but fans and media have to take some accountability too for this story and the way it's gotten to and this point it's gotten to. And I'm not afraid to say that either, because if you go back to October and you go to now, probably can pull 100 different clips of people asking about it, people talking about it. Every time Derek had a good game in Minnesota, it's like, oh, should Derek come back here in Chicago? Should the Bulls be pursuing him? That happened in November and December.
Yeah.
So I'm not angry at Bulls fans, and I'm not angry at Derek fans. And if they want him to come back, I understand why you want him to come back. But I'll say it again for the last time. I don't think it's a good idea for this Bulls rebuild. I don't think it's a good idea, but is it going to blow this whole thing up? No, I don't think so.
I can't understand how you don't think it would blow up. I really don't, after everything we've been through, but not everything you and I have been through, everything Bulls fans have been through. And look, just to kind of bring this full circle and wrap it up, because we're like at an hour and a half now, because obviously you and I...
Look at this.
This is exactly what we were talking about. Which goes back to what I said to start this entire conversation. While I know, and it's, you know, as I'm sure if people made it all the way through this episode, towards the end, they just are listening to me thinking like I'm just some horrible Rose hater who doesn't want the feel-good story, who doesn't care about Derrick Rose and his redemption story and only sees him in a negative light. That's not true, okay? I know that I can never care about Derrick Rose as much as somebody who is like Derrick Rose, an African-American, who is like Derrick Rose from the South Side of Chicago, who experienced some of the things Derrick Rose experienced when he was growing up, that me, a privileged kid from the burbs, will never understand in the same way. I know that. And I readily acknowledge that. And I readily acknowledge that a lot of the people who are more vocal Rose supporters probably in some way have a greater understanding of what he's been through than I do. Completely understand that. At the same time, it is not a lie that I wasn't bullshitting earlier. Derek is the professional athlete representing a Chicago team that I have cared more about and fallen deeper in love with than anyone since MJ. That is true. But people fall out of love. And as I was talking earlier about the spectrum and the Venn diagram of, are you a Bulls fan or are you a Derrick Rose fan? And which one are you before the other? To me, it has never been a debate. I am a Bulls fan. Lifelong, first and foremost, more than any team in this city. And I'm a Chicago fan across the board. But the Bulls will always be my team. It's why you and I get on this podcast and talk about them 5 days a week. And would it be nice to see Rose have some kind of redemption story, even knowing that I still, like you, have my reservations about some of the things in his past that make me very uncomfortable? Sure. Everybody loves a good comeback story. Look at Tiger Woods yesterday, even with all of the things that he went through, not just the injuries like Derrick Rose, but the instances in his personal life that got a lot of coverage. It's the same way people grapple with it, with the people that we admire in the world of sports. But what am I? First and foremost, I am a Bulls fan. And as a Bulls fan, whether it's Derek the basketball player, Derek the injury-prone aging player, or Derek the person, the entity, and everything that comes with it in this city, to me, as a Bulls fan first, it all comes down to being a bad idea. And that is where people have to figure themselves out. Are you a Derek fan or are you a Bulls fan? Because if you are a Bulls fan, I cannot believe you can look at all of the context of the situation that we are in and think and truly believe that it is more likely that Derek coming home works out the best for everybody involved than it is for this to blow up in everybody's faces.
I think the one thing that I will say about this to kind of wrap up the episode too is I got a better understanding of who Derek trusted, why he was doing that, and why he didn't talk at certain times. And I've gotten a better understanding of his upbringing, and I really appreciate that for him. Like you said, somebody who has never been in that situation before. And now I have a better understanding too, and I can understand why people feel the way that they do about Derek. And, you know, the one thing that I will say, and I think that has come true and more to light than anything else throughout this documentary, is we always talked about how we thought And a lot of media members thought that Derek got some really bad advice and maybe was surrounded by some people not giving him the greatest advice in the world. And I think that more so than anything through that time of where there was a lot of darkness going on. And, you know, Derek, even through those images of him going through the Adidas promotions and all of these things that he was doing, he was talking about like, I don't really care about doing any of this. All I want to do is be with my family, make sure my family's okay. So I got kind of better understanding there, but some of the advice that he was given, I think this is now more true than anything, is like, if you could go back and repair some of that, I think Derek would take more control as opposed to just listening to some of the voices that were around him that weren't giving him the best advice in the world. So I think if you look at it from Derek's perspective and see where he's matured since then, if you asked him again, I would be willing to bet he would say he would probably change a few things about the things that he said and what he was doing. But ultimately, I felt like, you know, the advice he was given by the people that surrounded him wasn't the greatest. But at the same time, you got an understanding of Derek didn't trust anybody else. He trusted the people around him, his family, and that comes all the way from his upbringing. You got kind of an understanding and a snapshot picture of that at the beginning of the documentary, which I think was really
telling. To the Rose stands who are maybe by chance still listening, if they haven't gotten sick of me bashing their guy. Again, not bashing him, just saying as a Bulls fan. Look, you can say, and you can be absolutely accurate, Jordan, to say it won't all be Rose's fault if he comes home and this all blows up. And I'm not saying that it will be Rose's fault if he comes home and this all blows up. I'm saying if there is a pretty decent chance that he comes home and it all blows up, it doesn't matter whose fault that is. Whether you blame it on Derek, whether you blame it on ownership of the front office who thought it would be a good idea, whether you blame it on the players who are here now who can't make it work with Derek or whatever it may be, or blame it on the fans and the media who advocated for this to happen, it doesn't matter who you blame it on. And again, to the Rose stands out there, I'm not blaming anything on Derek in a hypothetical of if he comes home and it doesn't work out. I'm just saying, I think if he comes home, it won't work out. And it's not a matter of whose fault that is. It is a matter of me, a Bulls fan, wanting this team to get back to championship contention and thinking, truly believing, that bringing Derek back into the fold will not help in that regard. And if anything, more likely than anything else, will hinder what they're working on and will prevent the happy progress that we all want to see from happening. Not Derek's fault. If he comes home and it's a media circus and everything blows up, and not all on Derek, but to me, it's not about whose fault it is. It is about, are you a Bulls fan who wants your team to win? Then this ain't the move. This ain't it.
We'll find out later this summer what their decision is on their point guard position, addressing that, and where they are going next year. And I think that also has a combination of what your expectations are for the Bulls next season. Do you feel like that they're on a fringe of being a playoff team? Do you think that it's going to get mildly better than what it was this season? But still, ultimately, there's a lot of improvement to make. I think it's about your expectation of where this season can be, too. So I understand it. I get it. And I've told you multiple times and have said it multiple times in this show. I think there's better opportunities for the Bulls to find other players that can have more of an impact than maybe Derek can have with this team in one single season. And is the risk... does the reward outweigh the risk? And I think that's something the Bulls are going to have to contemplate a ton this offseason. To me, I would rather just see Derek go chase a championship. I think the guy, for everything he's been through and his season as a basketball player, I think this has been an interesting conversation and a very, very, you can see by almost going 2 hours how many thoughts are on just Derrick Rose and the impact that he has on this city and people that have covered this Bulls team for a long time. We're not wrong when people say that it's polarizing as hell, too. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. So hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop us some tweets. Drop us your voicemails, your text messages at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck on our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Thank you so much for listening today. Again, I think it's definitely worth your watch if you haven't watched it before. Stadium's going to have it out a couple different times. I think if you're a Bulls fan, if you're a Derrick Rose fan, if you're an NBA fan in general, I think this is definitely worth your time to watch. So it's at stadium.com/live. The schedule's out. You can go check their social media or their their official website to figure out when the next time it's playing. I think it's playing a couple different times this week, but it played just yesterday twice. So if you haven't watched it, give yourself an opportunity to watch it, and I think you'll come away thinking about things a little bit differently and maybe have some different perspectives on things. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Hit that subscribe button. Himalaya, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you're hitting that subscribe button so you get our episodes as soon as they drop. For Matt Peckham, Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Back tomorrow to talk a little bit about the weekend that was for the NBA playoffs and so much more. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com